Lord, you are so good. You are so kind and faithful. Even when we are not, turn our hearts back to you, Lord. Meet us where we are. You always meet us where we are. And you draw us closer and closer to you, Lord. Lord, I thank you. That has been my prayer for quite a few weeks. Lord, just keep drawing me closer and closer to you. Shine your face upon us, this entire church. Lord, just thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness and your glory. You're so mighty and awesome, Lord. Thank you for the message for today. We are moldable. We are clay in your hands, soft clay in your hands. Impress upon our hearts your truth. Wipe out the world's lies and impress upon your words, your truth. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sugar. Amen. Sabrina, there's a word, I'm going to blow it in Hebrew, but I was talking to the round table about it yesterday. I think it's called lawash or loash, which it's a word to knead, not N-E-E-D, but K-N-E-E-D, or to marinate, to knead, to squeeze into. And God's looking for that time in our lives. He wants to knead into our lives. It takes time to knead bread. I love when you bakers of bread make me bread. I eat it. And it's precious to me, but I've never had to knead it and put it, squeeze it in and work stuff in. And that's what God's relationship is supposed to be with us. He's looking for those who will sit on the block, clay, and be kneaded, right? Purging stuff out, squeezing stuff in. Can church say amen? All right. This is the conclusion today, hopefully by the grace of God. Chapter 25, round cap. Do you remember what that was, what the subline was? I was like, don't even ask. Don't call on me. Chris was like, Pastor, I'm not even hearing you. It was get up. Say get up. Sometimes you got to get up, right? Ever fall down? None of you stayed there. I noticed you got in here today. You know, chapter 26 was get on your feet. Say get on your feet. Sometimes you can get up and you just stay stuck. Yeah, but you got to get up from what you fell into. Get up and get on your feet, right? And then remember last week what chapter 27 was? Yeah, I'm not going to make you remember that, right? No, this chapter 27 last week was you should have listened. Ever heard that before? If you're a parent, you ever said that before? Should listen. I told you don't stick your finger in that. That's what's going to happen. Hot means hot. Now you know what hot means, you know? Ever, you know, should have listened. So many lessons in my life. If I just listened, man, I've been a famous doctor by now. You know, now I just got to be married to one. So that's just almost as good, you know. That's the theme throughout history almost, as I should have listened to the Hebrews, right? This scripture's not on there, Chantel. Don't worry, I'm free rolling right now. But I'm on the podium, so it's safe. Okay. Hebrews 12:25 says this. Be careful that you do not refuse to listen. Be careful that you don't refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. For if the people of Israel did not escape, when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger, we will certainly not escape if we reject the one who speaks from heaven. Gotta listen, right? It's just gotta listen. So my recap for 27 is this. They struggled with a great difficulty against God's winds, right? They lost cargo. Remember on this trip, they lost. Paul said, don't go. Why? He goes, we're gonna lose everything. No, but we're gonna make it to Phoenix. No, bro, we're not making it to Phoenix. It looks good. I know how it looks, but I'm telling you, God said, no bueno. For you gringos, that means no good. Okay, just saying. No bueno. Right? Don't do it. Listen, now we're fine. Before you know it, they're chucking stuff overboard. They've been in typhoon winds, right? Trying to hold the ship together. People are freaking out. They lost cargo and they put their lives in danger. The third thing they also had to deal with is a permanent loss of the ship. Because sometimes there's consequences. Ever have a permanent loss in your life? I'm not going to make you raise your hand. I walk around on one every day. Permanent loss. Sometimes permanent loss has consequences to hard lessons. You know, it is. The bottom line is listen to his warnings from his word and his proven messengers, and we're going to be okay. Now today, the conclusion of the book of Acts, chapter 28. You want the subtitle? Shake the snake. Look at your neighbor and say, shake the snake. Shake the snake. Acts 28, 1 through 2. Shake the snake. So they crashed the sea. It smashed up. They're trying to get into the water. Paul said, no, unless you're with me, you're all going to die. So like, okay, we're in there. Swim to shore if you can. Some of the sailors, I hope they all could swim, because that seemed to be a prerequisite to being a sailor. Like, dude, I know how you tie knots, great, but swimming's like key, you know? So here they are trying to get to shore. In Acts 28, 1 through 2, it says, once we were safe on shore, paraphrase, God told me to tell everybody, right? He says, Paul says, we're going to have to live with the ship being destroyed. It's not coming back. We're going to be here a while. Take home life lessons from that, right? Once we were safe on shore, we learned that we were on the island of Malta. The people of the island were very kind to us. Most island people are dope. They are so nice. Most island people I've ever been to, they're just kind. Why? Because they live on the island. You know, and they'd look at the rest of us like, poor you. You know, like, we got to be nice to you. Why? Because you live in a city. And we like, we don't know how you do it. You know, but they're kind. And it was cold and rainy, so they built a fire on shore to welcome us. How nice. I have some pictures of Malta. Yeah, that is Malta during typhoon. Because remember, they weren't coming in on shore like, the love boat just docked up on shore. Come, we'll be nice. No, our ship is smashed. We lost everything we have. We're struggling for our lives. And we show up on shore during typhoon winds. Malta. Probably didn't have the houses back then. There's another picture, I think. It got some Malta. Malta. These are actually current pictures of Malta during typhoon storms. I took them, but, you know, I didn't have one. Paul didn't have a good camera. So just saying. So then I got one more. Malta. Twisted metal, rock, pulled up on shore. Lost everything. They make it on shore alive, but everything else is gone. Ever feel that way in your life? You just made it. But man, there's times I just made it. By the skin of my teeth, someone dragged me to shore. I didn't find Jesus without someone dragging me to shore. Someone dragged me to shore. I was floundering in my life, smashing about all my stupid decisions I ever made, consequences that I always will have to live with. Life was over. I was a wreck, and I tried to live it my way. I don't know if you ever had that experience, but I had to be dragged to shore. Somebody had to give me a lifeline. Jesus him quick. Why? Because he is drowned. Anybody else? Me and Shaunzi. Yeah, they should be careful of guys like us, Shaunzi. Here's a side note. The people. The people. The people, they, not the people, just they. They are often slightly unstable and easily swayed in their emotional response and perceptions, right? Come on. You see an advertising campaign for something, you're like, wow, that's great. You see the opposite. That's a terrible phone service. We're the best phones. I don't know. Who has the best logo? You know, do you hear this on Facebook? Everyone's not alive. What? We're not alive. Are you kidding me, bro? We're alive right now? No, Facebook showed me. So I really feel like this is a flat earth Facebook situation. Everything we get sent, I thought there was little cows that could dance so good. And my kid said, that's AI. Cows can't dance like that. I said, yeah, I figured it when I saw the bagpipe come in. I went, dang, it got me again, you know. Easily swayed, right? People, they, the people sometimes. I mean, people without God, of course. Now, these people didn't have God. So we tell it from our perspective. Imagine how easily swayed the world is because they have no anchor during any storm. So whatever current blows that way, that's how they're blowing, right? So they're safe on shore. Acts 28, 3 through 6. As Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, so Paul swims ashore, right? How do people get ashore? He started gathering sticks. I love this guy. He didn't let the people serve him. He said, I got to help too, because this is... Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire. A poisonous snake, driven out by the heat, bit him on the hand. The people of the island saw it hanging from his hand. And they said to each other, a murderer, no doubt. That guy got bit by a poisonous snake after he survived the shipwreck. He's a murderer, no doubt. Say the people. How's that comment make you feel, Paul? But you know what? Here's the truth. Sadly, they're not wrong. Ah, they're not wrong. Stephen, remember him? Paul gave his approval. Thank you, Jesus, we have a Redeemer. Some of us have murdered a lot of things in our life. Come on. Thank you, Jesus, for redemption. God's will is not snake death. God's will is not snake death. God's will for you now and God's will for Paul was different. Paul said, no, you're going to be in prison and you're going to see Nero. But so many things want to kill you on your destiny, don't they? They want to scare you to death and kill you. And the thing about like snakes in our life, ever have like a snake thing happen in your life? Like something like if a friend come in your life and just like whisper in your ear. Ever that happened, just come on in. Like the Garden of Eden. Remember Adam and Eve, you're just cruising around, right? Eating fruit, looking good. I mean, supposedly, I assume they're looking good. They're perfect in the world of perfection, right? And the snake could easily whisper, go, hey, did God really say that? I mean, he wants to keep out on you. See, snakes don't always come like scary, poisonous snakes. I see people jump from moths, Kirsten. Afraid of moths. Yeah, they're ugly. They got that funky powder on them. Who knows what that is? You're like, get that out of here, you know? But that's not dangerous. It's just a moth. Some situations, we got hanging on in our lives, and we're letting it inject poison in us every day. Some of you right now, like, I look at the ceiling. You know you got some kind of snake that's poisoning you at times, and you're still letting it hang on. I used to do that all the time. And I used to, like, I'm kind of an aggressive fella, and that's a problem sometimes. I get too aggressive. I do. And so I usually, when something attacks me, I want to attack it right back until it's dead. Sometimes I'll jump back, and I scare, you know, the other day, I almost murdered a little baby bird. I didn't mean to. My dog's barking. We had this little patch of grass. When he has a bellyache, I leave him this little patch, and he eats it, you know. And so he's like, rah, 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 rah. And we're near the desert. And he's like losing his mind. He loses his mind over a kid on a tricycle. So I try not to pay attention. But he's like, rah, 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 and he's barking at the grass. And I'm like, oh, there's probably a snake in there. I'm preaching about snakes. First, I jump back like snake, rattlesnake. And I grab, oh, I have a nice little tool over here. Snake. I went smack at the grass. And this little bird goes, ah. That's my interpretation of his voice. And phew, took off. Dang. God, I like, and if you like kill certain, like there's a military flag. I should remember this one. You military guys, it could be. It's a picture of a snake cut up in pieces. It's a military logo. Some of you know what that is. But if you cut the head off a snake, what's it? It wiggles around and smashes and thrashes things, right? And that's my first thing is, right? I want to bash that thing on a rock. God was showing me something. That's not how you handle those things. But the people, they see this poisonous snake hanging off Paul, and they judged what it was, what had happened to him. What they said, a murderer, no doubt. Though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live. But Paul... who knew God's plan. He knew, like, I'm not supposed to die by snake bite. Why? I got to go see Nero. I've been sad about that the whole trip. I know what I'm supposed to do, and I know where I'm supposed to go, and I try to tell these clowns, but like, no, they ain't listening to me, and I'm wrecked up on this island, and these people, I'm helping them get warm, help them get to see, and the snake bites me, and everyone's staring at me going, oh, that guy deserves to die. And Paul goes, yeah, I do. I'll never be able to repay Stephen. That's a permanent loss in my life. I killed my brother. But God said to me something else. God said, your death is not going to be on the island of Malta by some stupid little snake bite. You got to go to Nero. So Paul, what did he do? He shook it off. But Paul knew God's plan. Paul shook off the snake. And he shook it into the fire and was unharmed. Say this, no snake formed against me will prosper. He just shook it into the fire. Why? God, you take care of that. I'm done. Like, you know, he just went, the fire. Because the fire will kill something and turn it into ashes. You know what I mean? I feel like I wanted to put the video clip of Yzma. Emperor's New Groove, but I know some of you probably haven't seen that. It's too bad. But she wanted to get revenge on this guy, so she wanted to turn him into something that gets eaten by something else that turns into a bug and ends up in a box, and then she mails that box herself, and then she smashes it with a hammer. That's how I want to kill things most of the time. And God said, let me, if you'll just shake that off, stop being distracted by that thing. That poisonous thing got in your life. You didn't do anything for that. Like other people, they let poisonous snakes come on in and bite us all the time that we know is poison. It says it's poison. It's right in the bottle, poison. Right in our past, poisons. Someone comes to your life. Golly, I'm looking to look old today. You young guys are going to look this one up. There's a great show. It's called It's Wonderful Life. And Jimmy Stewart's in it, and you should watch it. But there's this, Jimmy Stewart's going to be, he's the next popping guy in town. He's got stuff to do. He'll be all that in a bag of chips, right? And there's these two girls, right? One of them's Violet Beauregard. And she's just like, gets his attention all the time. She's flipping her dress and her hair at him, right? You know, and he's like, hey, Violet, you look nice. She goes, I just wear this one. I don't care how I look. Yeah, sure, Violet, you wore that on purpose. You found out George's colors that he likes blue. I'm wearing blue today. Ever have those things come to life and stalk you? But they look pretty. I had it. Yeah, when I first got saved, I actually was an in shape fella. But I wanted Jesus more than I wanted any woman in my life. And I worked at a gym in the 80s where recreational drug use was allowed in the bathroom somewhat. And no one really had a moral code, at least at the gym. But I found Jesus. And the guy I worked out with found Jesus. No, not at the gym. We brought him with us. And I can remember Violet Beauregards in my life throwing themselves at me. Looking real pretty and shiny, but they're poisonous. I had something way better waiting for me. You know, don't let those things come in and poison the things that you've seen poison you in the past. What are you going to do? Cut it off? Get all violent? Make a big deal of it? No, trust God. Just shake it off. Shake it off into the fire and let it burn. Shake it off. Let God, let God. Ever try to get your own revenge? Turn out well? Let God. Well, the people are looking at me like, wow, that dude deserves stuff. And they go, they have no idea what I deserve. But they're going to find out about the redemption of God because I'm going to be stuck here a little bit. And I'm not going to let this poisonous thing distract me from what I'm doing. I think that's applicable. The people waited for him to swell up or suddenly drop dead. Can you imagine? They're going, doo-doo-doo-doo. They're eating Takis, watching, waiting. I don't know. The people waited for him to swell up and suddenly drop dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw that he wasn't harmed, they changed their minds. And they decided he was a god. Say, ah, the people. Oh, the people. Come on, you know. Decided he was a god. Good thing about Paul right here in this moment, he's an authentic disciple of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he could have stayed there maybe a while. Manipulated the people and overthrow those soldiers. Think about it. Homeboy came out of the ship, got bit by a poison snake, shook it off like a baller. Nothing happened to him. And they went, God, am I? These Roman soldiers have kept me captive. The island of Malta, free chips and salsa if we get rid of them. I have spoken. I don't know. He could have been adored the rest of his days on the island of Malta. But what did God tell him? You're going to Nero. Don't let people's praise or people's poison keep you from God's permission and position. Don't let people's poison and don't let people's praise keep you from God's position. Huh? Don't. Dangerous. Both are dangerous. They're a different kind of toxicity. They are. Acts 20, you enjoying the final episode? I mean, it's not smiley, it's just the Bible. Wait till Romans comes in. I'm naming it the hard road because it's going to be. Acts 28:7-10. Near the shore where we loaded was an estate belonging to Publius. You know what's cool? A new audience in Paul's life. We have new audiences all the time. And some of my audiences I wish I had back because I'm a better version of Jesus I was when I first got saved. And I hope I left some kind of real Jesus impression on them because I had cornhead written all over me still. I was still trimming corn off me, you know? Yeah, he's a little corny. He needs to get that off. Jesus working on me. Is there anybody he's not working on? Because if he's not working on you, you're in trouble. You're in trouble, right? Because there's no 100% perfect anybody. All fall sin and shall glory to God. All do, right? No one's exactly Jesus. So you should let him trim our corn, you know? Yeah, Paul knew. So near the shore where they loaded was the estate of Publius, a new guy in his office, the chief official of the island. He's the guy. He welcomed us and treated us kindly for 3 days. As it happened, you know what as it happened is? It's often code for God's about to do something. You know, as it happened, Publius' father was ill with a fever and dysentery. Be grateful I did not put up any pictures of dysentery. But if you don't know what it is, look it up later. It's icky gross. And it has a lot to do with potty humor. It's not good. Dysentery is not, you don't want like, man, that dude's got dysentery. A fever and dysentery. Paul went and prayed for him, and laying his hands on him, healed him. You know why? Paul authentically had Jesus. Paul didn't need to call a revival meeting and start shouting a bunch of things and quoting a bunch of scriptures and didn't have to pull out the Old Testament and pop them on the head. He authentically had Jesus. And isn't that the purpose? Isn't that the point? Authentically have get as much Jesus as you can, the authentic version of Jesus, and then pour out whatever authentic Jesus you have on somebody else because somebody else probably has a little bit less, and so you pour on them. And hopefully someone's pouring on you. You know, pour some Jesus on me. I need him. Then, after that happened, all the other sick people on the island, news got around quick without Facebook. I'm like, homeboy was healed, then bang, you know, there they are. All came and were healed. Say Jesus. All came and were healed. Makes me want to cry. As a result, we were alive and blessed by association. We. As a result, we were showered with honors. And when the time came to sail, the people supplied us. I want to stop a second. I've been with Apostle John, a friend of mine, not the Apostle John from the original, you know, but the Samoan version, the rough Samoan, loud, unpredictable version. I've been with him in places, and it's almost humbling. When we walk into a place he's not been in a while on the island, of what he did for the island, he put a radio station, Christian radio station in there. He was the first one, like, he broke down barriers. He was a police officer on the island, crazy, wild man, found Jesus, and he began to backpack all over that island until every village had the true gospel. And he planted so many churches in the South Pacific, I stopped counting. And whenever I travel with him, it's like traveling a rock star. You know, like there, this. So I get great meals, and people give me food and stuff. Why? Because I carried his bag in. You're with Apostle? Yeah, I like burgers too. You know, no palasami, no please, thank you. Just burgers, thank you. As a result, we were showered with honors. When the time came to sail, the people supplied us. Paul must have made such a good impact for Jesus during his unscheduled shipwreck. How many times during my shipwreck do the people around me just hear me complain about my shipwreck or my snake bites or about, you know, I have no deodorant. We're on Malta. Been with this guy too long. Aristarchus is starting to Aristinkus, and I just got to stop, right? I can't believe this situation I'm in. Why would God allow this in my life? And if you look at it real hard, you go, man, he warned me. Anybody? Anybody? Everybody's looking sad, but you and I, Sean. I don't know what it is. The people supplied us. with everything we would need for the trip. Say, ah, the people. People, man, God, authentic Jesus comes and people's hearts get open. It does. Acts 28, 11 through 12. It was 3 months after the shipwreck that we set sail. They were busted down for 3 months. Broken down 3 months. We set sail on another ship that had wintered on the island, an Alexandrian ship, with the twin gods as its figurehead. Ah, Greece. Remember, Paul was there first? They still, there's a war between good and evil, and Jesus is spreading like wildfire over Greece, but they have some old school multi-theist issues that they're dealing with. Right. We set sail on another ship, wintered at the island, an Alexandrian ship with the twin godhead figures. Our first stop was Syracuse, where we stayed 3 days. I have a picture of that. Syracuse. Carrier Dome, people. Carrier Dome. Now, that wasn't that same Syracuse, of course. If only he landed there, because he would have had good chicken wings there. And this is after, I think I got another Syracuse picture just because I could get away with it. There we go. Yeah, if he got to see Carmelo play, then Paul is very happy. I'm just saying. Syracuse. Oh, you ASU fans. All right, never mind. Acts of the Apostles 28. Back to Acts 28. Get out of Syracuse. Acts of the Apostles 28, 13 through 16. From there, we sailed across to Rhegium. A day later, a south wind began blowing. So the following day, we sailed up the coast to Puteoli. There we found some believers. How awesome it is when you're on your journey somewhere and it's rough and God sends you a believer out of nowhere that you didn't even know. How encouraging is that in that moment? You're broke down somewhere. You're like, man, we're in the middle of Podunk somewhere and there's one garage and it's kind of sketchy. I could hear zombies rustling the Coke machine. You walk in there like, should we get out of the car? You're like, no. You stay in the car with the kids. The axe handle's under the seat next to the 38. Don't get out. Why? Because it just seems good. You get in there, and this dude's got Christian worship playing, and you know, and he's like, oh, man, I was praying today, and I want to be able to help you. Isn't that nice? Do you ever have those situations happen in your life? This believer shows up out of nowhere, just blesses you. Can you imagine? Paul's on his way to meet Nero, which is not going to end well. So it's so great along the way that God's, even in God's prison, if God put the prison in your life, he'll put the provision in your life too. All through the prison experience, Paul is more than provided for. On a broke-down island, whoa, they took care of him, right? Paul gets let out of prison to be taken care of by his friends at times. Whoa, they can bring friends in. That's not most prison experience. Go to Florence, go. I just want to bring my buddy a burger. You'll be strip searched. You're coming in here. They sailed across all those places. Some believers, they found some believers who invited us to spend a week with them. Man, God's prison sure comes with good provision. And so we came to Rome. Guess what's in Rome? The brothers and sisters in Rome. Oh, man, that's got to be comforting. You're looking at like, this is my final stop before I give my life for God. That's what he knows. It wasn't the snake. He shook it off, right? Shook it off. It's no big deal. Let God deal with that. Got no problem. Why? Because I got to go meet Nero. And then brothers and sisters in Rome had heard he was coming. No social media of any kind. They just somehow heard it. They heard he was coming, and they came to meet us. Ever after a long journey, man, you know what my favorite thing to do is? When I come home from a long, hard journey, the one I almost died in Samoa, that was a terrible, tough journey. Jordan was there for part of it. There was beauty and terror. Both involved. But I could not wait to see that lady in the front row. And guess what? She didn't wait at the house. She came to the airport. I wouldn't have expected it. But boy, it was nice, right? They heard he was coming, so they came out to meet us. Meet us at the forum on the Appian Way. You know what the Appian Way is? This tough stone paving road. And it runs from Rome, all the way to this place called Brindisi, 560 kilometers away. A tough, hardened stone, cobblestone road that goes all the way from Rome, 560 kilometers away. And it's going to be the symbol, that exact road is going to be the symbol of our series, The Hard Road of Romans. That was the way into Rome, was a hard road. And he knew it. And he got to see miracles, and he got fed well, and he got to go on trips. But he was handed, his hard road was going to end. And it says, others joined us at the three taverns. When Paul saw them, he was encouraged and thanked God, like, guys, are you kidding me? A wing place? The three taverns, that picture makes great wings. They're near Syracuse, so it's got to be Buffalo, maybe. I don't know. You never know how much people's sincere kindness helps you when you're traveling a difficult road in life. When you're traveling a difficult road in life, to have someone tip you $20 when you're working at Starbucks and say, you're awesome today. And you don't know what that person had going to the bank teller. You know, they're smiling on the outside, and you just say, you know what? I'm so grateful that you do a good job with our account. I never even have to think about it. You never know those moments that change people's lives forever. You just never know. I've had so many people do that in my life when I've been traveling a hard road in my life. A buddy from nowhere will call me a text, well, dude, I'm praying for you. Dude, you still know Jesus? Whatever you're living right now, you sent me a Christian song because I was on your heart. I could have received it from nobody else but you, because everybody else knows what's going on. And everybody else runs the same trip I'm running. Everyone says, I'm the same path I'm running. And you're way over there, and I'm trying to reach out to you. But God put me on your heart and sent me a song. Bawling like a baby in my room. Bawling. You never know when you're on a hard road. But a little graciousness from a sincere, authentic lover of Jesus will do in your life. Anybody ever have that happen? I hope so. You've been here more than a minute. I hope it happens. When we arrived in Rome, Paul was permitted to have his own private lodging. That's a good upgrade from prison life. He get his own private lodging. Mark, did they ever ask you if you wanted private lodging? Yeah. You know, Jake, they say, hey, you know what? Instead, how about some private lodging, Jake? Right? No. Dave, military, like, we got a special lodge for you, Dave. You know, no, there's no private lodging typically with those situations. But Paul was in God's prison, and God was providing for Paul, because Paul was obedient even unto death. So he was hooking his boy up on the road. On a hard road, God will hook you up if you'll let him, but you got to listen. You got to get up. You got to get moving. And you got to listen to what he says, because he wants that hard road to sin successfully. Yeah, he does. When we arrived in Rome, Paul was permitted to have his own private lodging, though he was guarded by a soldier. You know why that was? God wanted to give him a constant audience. This guy's going to be in his side pocket this whole trip, this guy. If you ever get a chance to see an old school movie called Ben-Hur about how a Roman soldier gets saved, old school chart, it has to be before he was Moses. There's a soldier that watches the crucifixion that gives his life to Jesus. That's what they used to make movies about. This soldier is going to be a constant audience in his life. But the soldier was not provided so Paul would escape. Paul's escaped before. Remember, they load him down in baskets. They got him out of those different times. But Paul said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying on this stupid ship. And you guys got to come with me because you're a bunch of boneheads because you're not listening. Listen, I have to go to Rome. So now that he's in Rome, he's not dipping. He's in Rome. He's not escaping anywhere. Why? Because I could a long time ago. I could have had the Maltese people build me a little throne. We could have hung out there and raised an army and thumbed our nose at Rome for a while. I didn't do that. Why? Because that's not God. What is God? Go see Nero. Bring him authentic Jesus. So the soldier wasn't there to stop Paul from escaping. The soldier was there to protect Paul's life from those who wanted to kill him. I would love to walk around with a crazy ninja assassin bodyguard. It would look so cool, wouldn't it, Christian? Some dude behind me with shades, you know, just watch out for that dude. What? Yeah, Pastor Sean's got himself an assassin, ninja, warrior, bodyguard. I want one too. Be so cool driving around. Like my private residence. You in prison? Yeah, this is my private prison. I have my own little place over here. The people bring me food. My friends come. We hang out. We play a little euchre. It's close to the wing place. Three taverns, too far away. And I got this guy out front. I ain't got to worry about anybody trying to kill me. It's not a bad prison. But you know what I started thinking about Paul? That guy's committed. The church was committed back then to walk a hard road to their own death if God asked them to. Wasn't the church committed? Say, I am the church now. Acts 28, 17 through 20. 3 days after Paul's arrival, he called together the local Jewish believers and said to them, Brothers, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to Roman government, even though I had done nothing. Nothing against our people or the customs of our ancestors. The Romans tried and wanted me to release me because they found no cause for the death sentence. But the Jewish leaders protested the decision and felt necessary that I appeal to Caesar. It's time to film in why I'm here. Our own brethren trying to kill me because I believe what the Old Testament says. That's the summary. Even though he said I had no desire to press charges against my own people, I didn't want to cause this trouble. Between Rome has given us enough trouble. I wasn't trying to drag our people into more trouble. I asked you to come here today so we could get acquainted and so I could explain to you that I'm bound with this chain because I believe. I believe that the hope of Israel. He brings them together. He said, listen, I need to tell you this because this is what I believe is true too. What he's about to say is 100% of what I believe. I believe, he says, that the Messiah has already come. If you believe in Jesus, put your hand up. I believe the Messiah has already come. Acts 28, 21 through 24. There are still people being killed around the world for that very statement. They replied, we have no letters from Judea or reports against you from anyone who's come here. But we want to hear what you believe. God gave him another audience. And if you keep living authentic Jesus, even on the way to your own demise, even on a hard road, if you have authentic Jesus and you're just trying to take one step forward and get up every time and it's authentic, he's going to provide people in your life that want to hear the story. Sometimes some of those hard things were necessary for a good story. I know some of your stories. I wish some of y'all knew your stories. Some of you are afraid to tell your stories. Man, I'm risking this on the internet right now. I have a young lady that I get to disciple over the internet sometimes. A dear friend from high school, his daughter got saved. And he texted me, he said, Skip, could you send my daughter some encouragement? He hasn't confessed Jesus yet. But he said, can you send my daughter some encouragement, maybe some Christian music like you sent me? I said, I can do that. And the other day she sent me a text. She goes, pray for me. And she goes to a big church, popping down in Virginia. She's like, I'm going to be sharing my testimony in front of people for the first time. And I'm terrified and I'm excited and I'm terrified. But I'm excited. Man, how beautiful. And I got back home and said, how'd it go? She goes, I felt the Holy Spirit and everything I was afraid of. I was ashamed to tell them some of the things in my story. I was ashamed to say that in front of my own parents. But I said in front of a whole church because Jesus really did this. And I shared it with them. And I thought I was going to be terrified. I'm going to throw up on myself. But now I want to do it again. I say, yeah, videotape the next one. I'm in. You know, that should be the church. That's how it works. Don't bury your hard things. Don't trumpet them. Don't say, well, this is hard. Look how hard. That's not what the point is. Or, look, I keep doing dumb things and getting hard trouble. That's not the point either. It's not the point. But we want to hear what you believe. For the only thing that we know about is this movement. It's denounced everywhere. Like this Christianity stuff is like getting bad press here in Rome. So I set a time. And at that day, the large number of people came to Paul's lodging. Can you imagine this little place he had is packed full of people? Just packed. And he explained and he testified. He explained the scriptures first. Why? Because the church must be word-based. You know, you can't have a testimony. I can think of something crazy, you know. All right, here we go. Where's Dr. Heidi? Not in here? Great. You can't have a testimony like, God sent me that pound of cocaine. Man, just in time for my birthday. Right? That's not a testimony. That's this poisonous snake. Sent from Stinky. But it's a testimony. Why? Because I got to tell people about Jesus even at the party. Listen, Your testimony is going to be scripturally based in your life. Your life needs to be word-based. It can't be feeling-based or want-based or need-based. It's got to be word-based or you're going to be blown around into a thousand molten wrecks. Blown around. Just blown around. Smashed up. He explained and testified. So be word-based, but your authentic experience counts. Like, don't not share your testimony because you don't know the word so well. Look into the word, what he says about you and about himself, and never silence what he's done in your life. It was done for a reason. And some of us had to learn harder lessons and it took longer. Some people like Dr. Heidi got saved at 13. Hallelujah. I got my boy William in the front row worshiping. I wish I was worshiping at William's age in the front row. Dog, would I be further ahead? I'd walk better. I'd talk better. I'd probably look better and smell better. I'd be better. William, start a revolution, bro. So I explained and I testified about the kingdom of God, and I tried to persuade them about Jesus from the scriptures. Start with the scriptures. So using the law of Moses and the books of the prophets, say deep roots. That's coming up, some deep roots, Old Testament series. Why? Well, now I'm a New Testament Christian. I'm going to read that. Apparently, Paul thinks the book of Moses is super important, the law of Moses. So did Jesus. It's quoted a lot in Isaiah. Anyways, sometimes we don't like to pull out Old Testament stuff because it can be really convicting. We like to live in hippie Jesus world. I'm serious. You know, it's just the flowers and Jesus and it's okay. Bring your pound of cocaine with us on the way. No! No, help your brother out. Throw that out. Flush that down the toilet. No, bro. And they saw the law of Moses in the books of prophets. He spoke to them from morning till evening. Paul's long-winded, just like Pastor. Paul gave all his best to do all that God asks. He gave his all to do his best. That is not easy. I don't know if you guys, I the hardest thing is, you know, doing my very best at anything. Because that takes... I'd rather give you everything I had than to be expected to do my best. There's pressure. But the best you can do, hear this, is the best you can do. Not Chauncey's best. Don't live by that standard. Not by the people's best, not by Paul's best. What has he asked of you? What has he done? He's only going to ask of you what you are all into, all for, right? Some were persuaded when he said these things, but others did not believe. You're only responsible to explain and testify about authentic Jesus. You can't control the ground it's sown in. And that's hard. I was speaking to a pastor friend of mine. He goes, it's hard. The scripture is hard. The red letters of Jesus when he says, every time the word is sown, there's four soils. The unlistening hard soil. The weed choked out soil. The rocky ground soil. And good soil. You can't control the soil. You just got to spread the seed. You got to spread the seed. You authentic spread the seed. All right. We're coming up here on the final. We're landing in here at the final of Acts 28, 25 through 31. I love how it starts off. And after they had argued, boy, that happens at church a lot. Not here, but it happens places. People argue over things all the time. When I start seeing that, unless I'm totally involved when I shouldn't be, and that's like 20% that doesn't look like Jesus, I try to dip on those things. I don't want to discuss that you think the earth is flat, you think the earth is round. I don't care. I want to know if you know Jesus and you're spreading that around and you're applying that to your life. I don't care if Jupiter's really colonized with cabbage that we get. I don't care. I don't know. Jupiter and cabbage just came out. Just saying. They argued back and forth amongst themselves, and they left. Left with this final word from Paul. His tone kind of feels like a warning. Final word after this argument. He says this, the Holy Spirit was right. The Holy Spirit was right when he said of your ancestors through Isaiah the prophet, pulls out some deep roots, go and say to these people, when you hear what I say, you'll not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened. and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes. Not seeing and wanting to see is on them. They have closed their eyes so that their eyes cannot see. That's intentional. You know what I mean? I don't want to see that. I don't want to know about it. I don't want to know about the starving kids in that country. Why? Because I'm uncomfortable. I don't want to know what God says about this, because as soon as I read it, then he's going to ask me to stop getting cocaine shipped to the house. As soon as God says, I can't, I got to call, no, God didn't say that. No. You can't. They have closed their eyes and their ears cannot hear and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them even. Paul, he's dropping like the mic before he goes to see Nero. So I want you to know that this salvation from God, he's telling them, has also been offered to the Gentiles. Been offered to the Gentiles, and they will accept it. Have you accepted his terms of salvation? It's going to put you on the spot a little bit. If you haven't, you can not look at me because I'm not trying to make you feel uncomfortable. Just check your phone. It's okay. But if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to raise your hand a second. That'll make me cry too. Keep it there just a second. Then you accepted the terms that he was telling those guys that day. Someday there's going to come a people that will hear God and care about what he says, and they'll change their lives and they'll accept Jesus as Messiah. And you guys turned all that down. But someday there'll be a people like the ones with their hands in the air. You can put your hand down. He says they're going to accept it. So for the next 2 years, Paul lived in Rome at his own expense, which is kind of cool. He's got a private place, he's got a bodyguard, and he gets to make tents and hang out with his friends. Sounds like camping, but indoors. You know? And this is cool. He welcomed all who visited him, boldly proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. And no one tried to stop him. Some of us are still being bit, and we haven't shaken it off, and that's what stopped us. It's time to shake it off. Or maybe you haven't gotten up from your fall. Or maybe you've gotten up, but you haven't gone forward. Or maybe, I don't know what it is, but it's time. What's stopping you? Because if you have authentic Jesus, nothing stops you. No hard road, no Nero, nothing. We are the church now. We're the authentic Jesus containers. And we're not supposed to be stopped, and we're not supposed to be silenced. We're the church of season 3. So I want to ask us a couple things. I don't want to be obnoxious. I wrote in here, don't be obnoxious. I actually, Christian, had to write that to myself. Correct. Come on, Karin. That's no one should have to write themselves, don't be obnoxious. I had to. But also it says, don't be stopped and don't be silenced. So here we go. Borderline, don't be obnoxious. Bring it. There will always come a time or two that you will be asked by God to stand. I can guarantee it. Men of the Round Table, Pastor Justin posed a question. He was talking to the men of the Round Table. He said, if God asks you a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. He wants to know if you do. He's not asking like, hey, I'd like your opinion on this thing. What do you got to say? You read through the Bible, anywhere you find it, God asked them a question. It's not because God was lacking the answer. He wanted them to go, do you hear what I'm asking you? Do you know the answer? So I'm going to ask you to participate for a second. We're going to pray. But I want you to stand if you faced before what seemed like the impossible. You faced it and you didn't think there's no way this gets turned around. God can't show up. This is impossible. But he did it anyway. Stand up for me. Thank you. I'm standing. I'm talking about, yeah, see, look at these folks. There was something, that was, and ask them their story. If they're not willing to tell you, wait for the book to come out. But you're looking at people who had authentic God experiences in impossible situations, and God did something that we all thought was impossible. All right, you can sit down. I'll get particular. There's another category. You ready? Jeff's like, I'm just going to stand, Pastor. It's too hard to get up and down. Did you stay, Jeff? This might count. You can just do it. Stand if a giant that once was in your life taunting you has been removed. Come on. If there is some addiction in your life that you don't have anymore, it is gone. Something in your life that was taunting you all your life, and God said no more, and you're living that out now. Yeah, God. Yeah, God, right? Okay. So go ahead, sit down, everybody, but Jeff. Stand if you personally have a testimony of Jesus because of some sort of victory. Stand if you know that you have one and you've not really been sharing it like you should, but I know I'm supposed to. Stand. That's courage. Now this is friends and family going, yeah, I'm flexing like this at you right now. All right, just saying. You can sit down. This next one, I don't know if it's going to touch anybody here, but if it does, I want you to understand that all the people you saw standing, it all touched us before. Stand if you've never received or accepted Jesus Christ's forgiveness of your sins, and you want him cleansed for all unrighteousness, and you want to stand in a place where I authentically know God, and I can't wait for him to do the impossible in my life. You're welcome to stand right now, because we'll take care of that right now. Right now, you can stand with us. We will stand with you. If you're not ready yet, we will help you down the hard road. There are people, if you're in that hard road, like, I'm not ready, Pastor. You can't call me up. Like, I'm embarrassed for the people. So am I. I don't like to be around people for long. I'm not built that way. I get anxious. But you see these folks that stood? You're somewhere on your hard road, and there's someone on their hard road. Go up and walk together. It's time the church start walking together. Right? It's time to walk together, come together. So as I pray, if you need prayer for anything, and you need personal prayer for anything, I want you to grab someone that did stand earlier and go say, could you pray for me? But if you consider yourself part of the church and you're Acts 3 and that's who you are, stand. It's your last stand, I promise. Stand if you're part of the church now. You're part of the church now. You know, I am part of the church right now. Maybe not New Season, but the church. I'm not talking about a church. I'm talking about the church. All right. I'm going to pray for the church. You guys ready? Father God, I pray. Lord, I was going to put a dramatic song on and have time. And I know we have a meeting, Lord. I don't play in their emotions. But Father, I pray that the same spirit of that will come upon your church. We would be the word and walk the word and help each other off the ground and go forward, Father. We would believe for impossible giants to fall again. Lord, that we would see, we'd shake off the snakes. Father, we would overcome the giants. Lord God, we would stand and not be pushed back. We would not be silenced. Father, we would not be obnoxious. We would not be shouters of the gospel. We would be strong, standing livers of it. Authentic, Father, and imprison us when you have to. Send us out like a body, like a bride, like an army. And the church said, amen.